Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Being proactive with your health today on Advanced. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's advanced program. I'm Linda, your host, and today we are talking about health. It's our health article. Today is July 27th, and the article is entitled Work with Your Biology, Not Against It. And to help me to discuss today's article is Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca.
Hey, Linda. It's great to be on the program.
It's great to have you. Today we're talking about health, being proactive with your health, and we're all getting older. There's no question about that. We start aging the minute that we are born.
Yes.
And as we get older, we have to make adjustments. There are things that we can't do anymore, or there are things that we have to do that we didn't have to do before with regard to our health. So in what ways have you had to adjust in getting older, in growing up?
Hi-yo. Okay. Well, let's face the music. Many, actually, especially in the past 2 years. I think as we get into our 40s, there I said it, as we get into our 40s, your body does change in certain ways. Like I've noticed my hormones fluctuating. I've noticed that I need to do a lot more weight training so that I don't lose muscle. And these days in my annual health checkup, which I do, actually not annual, I do it once every 2 years, a full health checkup, I've been doing the DEXA scan. And the DEXA scan basically scans your bones to see if what your bone density is like. Have you lost bone mass? Mm-hmm. And that is so important for women, especially.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Your bone mass gets less and less as we age. And men too, but men at a slower rate than women.
Right.
So yeah, I've noticed like health is a topic I talk about a lot now these days. Like about 3 years ago, I mean, when I was in my 30s, I never, ever talked about health stuff. It was more like, oh, let's go, you know, like exercise. But I never talked about, oh, do you worry about your bone mass?
Yeah.
Are you eating enough protein? Those were issues I never even thought about. It was not part of my thinking.
Yeah, because we didn't have to, right?
Yes.
But as we get older, yeah, there are things that we have to think about that we didn't have to think about before. And you mentioned, bone density.
Yes.
As women, we face osteoporosis, that is a deterioration of our bones. And we actually did an article about that last month on how to build up our bone density or to prevent the decay of our bones. And that's something, that we just have to deal with because it's something that happens as we get older.
Yes.
And you mentioned fluctuating hormones,
yes,
that is something that women have to deal with as well. And men do too.
Men do too.
Also.
But they just do it at a later, like they do it at a, with women, a lot of this starts happening in your early 40s or for some women, even your late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that in the article.
Yeah,
for men, it happens just a bit later.
Yeah.
But it does happen too.
Right. And so it does happen. It's just maybe different in different ways or in different, under different conditions. And we will be introduced to a term for women, this transition that women will go through. And it's a term that it's actually been around since the 60s, but it seems like everybody is talking about it in recent years.
Yes.
And it's this term, perimenopause.
Oh, Linda, it's one of my favorite topics these days.
Okay, so you are the right person for this
program. I'm the right
person.
You know, listeners, we're going to preach this on the program, not just now, in future editions of Advanced, because it's so important for women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this area was really just not studied
for
decades because most research was done by men,
mm-hmm.
by white male men.
Yes, and this is something that they didn't go through.
So when women went into doctor's offices and tell their doctor all about the symptoms they're experiencing, a lot of times the doctor is like, oh, it's all in your imagination.
Mm, yes.
Or, you know, it's just emotional. Women are just more emotional, mm-hmm. more psychological. But thankfully, these days, there are a lot more women researchers, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and there are a lot more women doctors, and they are looking into these issues and finding we have significant differences between men and women.
Yes,
and there then are. Let's define perimenopause.
Okay.
That's important. It's an
yes.
important word.
Yes, we will get into that more when we get into the article, but just to kind of introduce you to that term we'll be talking about. And for men and women, something that we will all deal with as we get older is weight gain. And that's a big topic in our article today. It's just something that happens with age. Like, you didn't have to worry about it really in your 20s or maybe start worrying about it in your 30s. But yeah, I just remember when it wasn't an issue at all. Like, it just, I mean, I exercise a lot, but never for, you know, I've never had to do it to lose weight or stay in shape. But like, it's more, I need to exercise now to stay in shape and to be healthy. Before, it was just for recreation. So we
Linda,
all...
I hear you. Because, you know, at the gym, we have something called an in-body scan, right?
Mm-hmm.
I-N-B-O-D-Y. In the in-body scan, it can measure how much fat you have, how much muscle you have. It's a very, very accurate measurement. And I really hate doing the in-body scan. I hate it.
It's too revealing.
It shows too much. Yeah. Because I actually gained 10 kilograms in the past 3 years.
Mm.
And that's all due to perimenopause. Because mm-hmm. I'm still eating the same amount, exercising about the same amount, doing almost everything about the same. And there's a difference of 10 kg.
Yes.
And the in-body scan revealed it. Mm-hmm. And then my trainer was like, Rebecca, you're not going to like the number. And I was like, how bad is it? And she's like, 10. And then I thought about it. I didn't feel bad, though. It just means I'm in that stage that mm-hmm. we're talking about today.
Yes. And with that, okay, we will talk about why that is, why we have to do more or do less of some things. But just doing the minimum that we did before is not going to cut it anymore.
Yes.
So let us get into our article right now.
Work with your biology, not against it. Why midlife weight starts earlier than you think and what to do about it. Weight gain is common in women during perimenopause and after menopause, but the physical changes underlying it start much earlier in adulthood. Daniela Hurtado Andrade, MD, PhD, an endocrinologist and obesity expert at Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, explains why it is important to start counteracting those changes before perimenopause arrives. Weight changes are not only characteristic of midlife or menopause. Data have shown that weight gain starts early in adulthood, Dr. Hurtado says. Around age 30, your muscle mass starts decreasing gradually as part of the natural aging process, and this is exacerbated in midlife due to menopause. The decreasing muscle mass will lead to a lower metabolism, a risk factor for weight gain, Dr. Hurtado says. Adding to the challenge of achieving a healthy weight before and after menopause are many of the features of modern life, Dr. Hurtado says. For example, an abundance of processed foods high in sugar and fat, technology such as escalators, elevators, and cars that allows people to move from place to place without walking, and the difficulty of unplugging from devices that keep people connected to work and sedentary for longer hours, with less time spent on physical activity.
Okay, so we are encouraged to work with our biology, not against it. And yeah, that is some good advice. Some of us are born with good genes. Some of us, not so much. Like, you know, some people don't really have to exercise to stay in shape. Like they're just naturally thin. But to be healthy, you still need to exercise and still need to eat right, because even if you might look okay on the outside, you have to take care of what's on the inside.
Yes.
So our deck is why midlife weight starts earlier than you think and what to do about it. And we got on this topic a little bit in the intro. Something that men and women have to deal with as we get older is weight gain.
Yes.
And weight gain is something that's very common in women during this time of perimenopause. It's a term that we introduced to you in the intro. And what is it,
Rebecca? Perimenopause. It's basically the transition period before menopause. Mm-hmm. And let's first define what is menopause. Menopause is when a woman stops having her period for 12 straight months.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have 12 straight months without your period, that moment in time is called menopause. But the time leading up to this moment, the time leading up to menopause, is perimenopause. And let's talk about age. Like, usually the average age when women start getting into perimenopause is between 40 to 44.
Right, early 40s.
Early 40s. Mm-hmm. But this is average, right? When we talk about averages, you could be like earlier or later. But on average, most women get into perimenopause in their early 40s. And perimenopause can last anywhere between 4 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So some people have a very long period of perimenopause. Some people's perimenopause is very short.
Right. Yeah, actually, this transition to menopause, because menopause usually happens in women in their 50s.
Yes.
And so this period of perimenopause is that transition to menopause. So it could be early 40s, could be mid 40s, or late 40s.
Yes.
It really depends on the woman.
Yes. Every woman's body is different. But usually a good indicator is looking at your mom's age of menopause.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually your age of menopause will not be too different than your mom's age. So like one indicator is look at your mom. But every woman is different. And it's really interesting. Even there's differences between more wealthy countries and more poor countries, because usually poorer countries, their nutrition is more poor. So then they get into menopause earlier.
Okay.
And then there's even differences among women of different ethnicities.
Yes, that would be a factor.
Asian, Caucasian, African, you know, that could all be different.
Yes. So, and just each woman's body is different.
Yes.
So women as early as in their 30s have entered into menopause. But
yes.
Regardless of the age, it is this transition to menopause.
And it will happen in every woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like every woman who has a normal period, this will happen to you. I mean, there's only a few things in life that are certain: birth, menopause, death. These are all things that are certain.
Right, yes. And so during this period of perimenopause, this transition, can experience many different symptoms.
Yes.
And because your body is experiencing fluctuating levels of hormones, estrogen and progesterone, and that affects your body.
Yes.
And some symptoms are not very pleasant. You start getting changes in mood, and we mentioned differences in weight, hot flashes. These are also symptoms of menopause itself.
Yes.
But yeah, you can experience brain fog, all different things, thinning hair, dry skin. So none of them sound positive.
And more wrinkles. That one I really don't like. I don't like having more wrinkles. But
that's just aging in general, not specific to perimenopause.
But once you have less estrogen, that happens even faster.
Right. So it's because of the changing levels of hormones. Okay. But the physical changes underlying perimenopause start much earlier in adulthood. So we want to be proactive, right? So we mentioned the ages that perimenopause and menopause take place, but these changes start much earlier. These changes underlying the transition start much earlier. So we have to address them much earlier. And underlying just means the root, the cause, these things, these physical changes causing perimenopause. So we are introduced to this doctor. And what is she an expert in?
Well, she is an expert in basically hormones, right? Because we have, this is a big word, endocrinologist.
Endocrinologist.
Okay, I got it completely wrong. Endocrinologist. Mm-hmm. So endocrines is talking about hormones, right?
Right, endocrinology. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when we have, usually when we have this logist, L-O-G-I-S-T, it's often some medical doctor, medical professional mm-hmm. in a specific field. Mm-hmm. So this is a doctor who specializes in hormones.
Mm-hmm. And also
obesity.
Yes. So obesity is much more serious overweightness, being overweight, and usually it's 30 or more. Your body mass index is 30 or more. And that can lead to all kinds of serious health issues when someone is obese. So she is working out of the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, and she explains why it's important to start counteracting those changes before perimenopause arrives. And what does it mean to counteract something?
Well, this is a very good prefix we have here, counter. So if you have something that is counter, it means against. Mm-hmm. So to counteract means something is going to happen. You need to go against it.
Yes.
To counteract. So let's say a typhoon or a storm is coming. Then we need to counteract or make some prevention measures to protect ourselves before
right.
that storm arrives.
Yes, to reduce the effects, right, of the storm.
Yes.
And here we're talking about reducing the effects of perimenopause. We're going to be dealing with it, but we want to do stuff that will help us deal with the change better. So weight changes are not only characteristic of midlife or menopause, are not the only characteristic of midlife or menopause. Data has shown that weight gain starts early in adulthood. So around age 30, your muscle mass starts
yes.
decreasing gradually. And you had mentioned that, Rebecca, that's something that both males and females deal with, a reduction in muscle mass. And
yes.
that's really disappointing. It's like we want the muscle to
exactly.
stay.
Exactly. We love our muscles. Muscles are so important for strength. And it does happen. For me, my wake-up call was in my late 30s. I went for an annual health checkup. And the nurse was like, oh, you have to check your bone density and muscle mass. I'm like, why? I said, I'm pretty healthy. I don't have a problem with either bone density or muscle mm-hmm. mass. And she's like, well, she specifically talked about bone density. She said, well, after 35, your bone density really goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And after 40, it goes even further down. So you better start paying attention to bone density. And then she says, what kind of exercises are you doing? I said, I swim a lot. She said, swimming's not enough, girl.
Mm-hmm.
You got to start weight training.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not something that we're doing, like we don't have to do anything to lose muscle mass, but we have to do things to counteract it. Because
yes.
if we, yeah, just remain status quo, we're going to lose muscle mass. So we have to counteract those changes. So your muscle mass starts decreasing as a natural part of aging, and this is exacerbated in midlife due to menopause. So women have to deal with this even more because it's made worse. It's exacerbated by menopause and perimenopause. So the decreasing muscle mass will lead to a lower metabolism, a risk factor for weight gain. And metabolism is also something very important that is affected by aging. We get slower metabolisms as we get older, right? And I think we both have experienced that. So metabolism is the process in which your food is mm-hmm. converted to energy.
Yes.
And it just takes longer. Like, so that food doesn't immediately get converted to energy and used up by your body. It sits and then it turns to
fat.
Yes.
Especially in our belly and abdomen and hips if you're a woman.
Yes, right. So adding to the challenge of achieving a healthy weight before and after menopause are many of the features of modern life. So just, yeah, life gets in the way because we are eating processed food, UPCs. They're so abundant in life, in the store. So we have to stay away from those. High in sugar and fat. Those are not good for us. Technology, such as what, Rebecca?
Escalators, elevators, and cars. Now, you know, this is actually Here in Asia, I think this is less of a problem because many of us take, at least in the big cities like Taipei here, we take the MRT, we take the subway, so we spend a lot of time walking. Mm-hmm. But in North America, I just remember my life in Canada. I was driving, like we're always driving. I'm pretty sure in Miami it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You're always driving from one place to another, so you actually rarely walk.
Right. And so we have these sedentary lives in which we are sitting a lot because that is our job. If you have an office job, you're mostly sitting at your desk, looking at your computer, and we're doing this for longer and longer periods of time, especially with devices. Devices also keep us sedentary. So all of these things cause us to be less active, and that also contributes to weight gain. All right, let's listen to our second reading now.
Awareness. Being aware that weight-related physical changes start earlier than midlife may help people be mindful about the importance of establishing and maintaining a healthy lifestyle, including adequate diet and exercise, at least 150 minutes per week, well ahead of menopause, Dr. Hurtado says. It may help to track what and how much you eat, to understand how much you need to eat to feel satisfied and avoid overeating, she adds. To mitigate muscle mass loss that occurs with aging, a healthy diet should include enough protein, and exercise should include resistance training and possibly high-intensity interval training, HIIT, Dr. Hurtado says. While a healthy lifestyle is essential, it may only get someone so far in pursuit of a healthy weight, Dr. Hurtado says.
Okay, so before the reading, we listed all of the things that contribute to midlife weight gain because all of the conveniences of life lead us to a sedentary lifestyle in which we have less activity, less physical activity. So we need to be aware to be able to do something about that, right? So being aware that weight-related physical changes start earlier than midlife may help people be mindful about the importance of establishing and maintaining a healthy lifestyle. So what does that healthy lifestyle include?
Well, it includes adequate. Adequate just means enough. Adequate diet. So what you eat, what you put into your body is important. And exercise. And here it says at least 150 minutes per week. So divide by 60 minutes, that's about 2.5 hours per week.
Yeah. But if you break that up over a few days, then it's much less, like it's much more manageable. But, and that's the minimum, right? So at least 150 minutes per week. So we want to get started in doing these things because we want them to become a habit, right? So long before menopause even begins. So it may help to track, right, what we're eating, what we're doing as far as physical activity, to understand how much you need to eat to feel satisfied and avoid overeating, because that's a big problem, right?
Yes.
Emotional eating, right? We eat sometimes to make ourselves feel better. We love those comfort foods or even junk food, like all of those. And all of those, the junk food, processed foods, they are not good for us. We can just eliminate them. But if you can't, then just eat them sparingly, very little as possible. All right, so to mitigate, to decrease like the loss of muscle mass that occurs with aging, what should a healthy diet include?
Well, the key word here is protein. Mm-hmm. We need a lot of protein. So you need enough fish and meat and soybeans, for example. I drink a lot of soybean milk.
Okay.
Like soybean milk, I drink in the morning, I drink at nighttime. I try to drink it as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's the main drink in my fridge because soybean milk is a great source of protein. You need protein. And then for exercise, we talked about weight training, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here, the bigger term is resistance training because sometimes you don't use weights. You can even use your own body.
Yes, body weight.
Body weight.
That's what I do all the time. Like, and so, yeah, you don't necessarily need to use weights. You can just use your body weight.
Yes. So that's resistance training. And also, do you do this one? High intensity interval training.
Yes,
or HIIT.
I do a lot of HIIT.
Yeah. Yes. What is HIIT?
HIIT is, well, we see what the full name, high intensity interval training. So it's doing exercise at a high intensity for short periods of time. So maybe on for 30, 40, or 50 seconds, and then you stop, take a break, and then you do it again. So it's just periods of high-intensity exercise. And you can do different exercises as mm-hmm. well. In my fitness group, we do all different kinds of exercises like squats, lunges, push-ups, sit-ups, running in place. So you can also make it very fun. It doesn't have to be something that you dread, right? So yes. That's the key, is while a healthy lifestyle is essential, we all need to do that. The problem is that it may only get some people so far in the pursuit of a healthy weight. So even doing all of these things, maintaining a healthy diet and an exercise routine, it might not help you to lose the weight because of how our bodies are working, because of the lower metabolism, because of age. And we will tackle that problem tomorrow. But it's important that you start early. Yes. Maintaining, creating a healthy lifestyle.
Yes.
And let us know what you do to create, to have, and maintain a healthy lifestyle. But please join us tomorrow when we'll continue this very interesting topic. For now, I'm Linda.
I'm Rebecca.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.